Vakedas Yitzchok Lezarai Hayoim Barachim Tizkaya. That's the theme of Zichronos on Rosh Hashanah. We've just been through Rosh Hashanah. Vakedas Yitzchok Lezarai Hayoim Barachim Tizkaya. This is singled out by Chazal as the ultimate sacrifice. The event of the Akedah is, amongst all, maybe the greatest achus for Klal Yisrael Adoyre Doyles. And I'm entitled this year, Testing, Testing, four approaches to the Akedah, two of which I'm sure you're very, very familiar with, but we'll go over it, and two of which maybe you're not so familiar with. So let's begin with the first approach, which is the most common one, and which everyone knows about. The obvious one is that Avraham Avinu had waited for a son for 100 years, and now he was asked to give away this son. Avraham Avinu is called Oyhavi, the one who loved me. In other words, he subordinated his intense love for Yitzchok for the love of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Sotan, of course, plays on this tremendous emotional, this incredible, intense emotional feeling of resistance which Avraham Avinu must have had. Says the Yalkut, Bo Sotan va'omad lefonov. The Sotan came and stood in front of Avraham Avinu, Omalei, Odom shekamoyscho, yoivad benoi, she niten loy diskeinusoi. Are you going to lose the son which was given to you in your old age? You've waited 100 years. Are you crazy? How can you give away the son which you love? And Avraham didn't act rashly. He thought the thing over. That's again a Tanchuma. The Tanchuma says, Vayoyim Hashilishi, Vayisra Avraham Asenon, Vayaris Hamokim Yirochik. Was on the third day, and Avraham lifted up his eyes, Vayaris Hamokim Yirochik. He saw the place from afar. The Loma Vayoyim Hashilishi, why on the third day? Veloy Vayoyim Arishon, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu only reveal to Avraham Avinu Har HaMeri on the third day? Veloy Vayoyim Hashaini, Kadei Shelo Yehu Umos, Yehu Umos HaOlem Oimrim, Himamu, V'holach, V'shochadet Benoi. That's the Medrash Tanchuma. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu confused him, and he went and he shepherded his son. Rashi, of course, brings this Tanchuma. Rashi adds to it, Himamu, V'irvu, Pitzoy. Nobody should say that he suddenly was caught up in an emotional trap, as it were. V'torach Dato, he went crazy, and he wasn't able to think. V'lachi V'ilu, Hoyoloi Shos, if he would have had time to think and contemplate, Le'imolech, possibly to change his mind, Lohoya Oisei wouldn't have done it. Rashi explains this Medrash Tanchuma. Nobody should say that Avraham Avinu had no time to contemplate at all. It took 3 days until he got to Har Moriah, and during those 3 days, he had plenty of time to think it over. That's the first approach. His loved one, Avraham Oyavi, he subordinated his own love to the love of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The second well-known approach, which everyone knows about as well, is also given by the Mefarshim, V'tanefesh asher osu b'choron, Avraham Megayer es ha'anoshim, v'sorim Megayer es ha'anoshim. Did I say it right? Avraham es ha'anoshim, v'sorim es ha'anoshim. So Avraham spent his whole life preaching, as it were, darshaning about the Ribbono Shel Olam, and one of the things he was trying to squash was child sacrifice. They were married b'noi l'moylech, they killed their children for their gods, and Avraham Avinu was trying to bring the whole world tachas kampei hashchina, Avraham Megayer ha'anoshim, and he's preaching all his life, child sacrifice is forbidden, it's not our way, and then he has to go and sacrifice his own child. He made a complete and utter fool of himself. Imagine the terrible embarrassment which he would now be faced with, he faced the world that he was going to shed his son. That was a terrible embarrassment, makes a fool of yourself, very, very few people can get over such a test. So that was the second approach to Avraham Avinu's test. Subordination of his child, love of his child, and also having to overcome the embarrassment of doing something which he preached against all his life. But there is a third approach, and that's perhaps not so well known. sorry to bring in my pet subject, but in the work which I do, whenever I bring up the subject of the Akedah, and we speak about Akedah Yitzchak, I always notice in a secular audience a certain amount of cringing. They cringe at the subject. And very often they come over to me and they say they find it so difficult to understand. They cannot understand how Hashem can ask somebody to murder. It's the sheer ethical problem of murdering. How can you go and murder somebody? How can you justify something which is abhorrent, absolutely abhorrent? Murder is murder is murder. And even in, they ask, even in the obedience to God, how can you change something which is totally and utterly abhorrent and totally and utterly unethical and change it into something ethical just because the Almighty commanded you? How, Rabbi, how can you say something? How can you do it? Murder is murder. Nothing will change something from unethical to ethical. Have you ever had the thought yourself? I'm sure you have. I don't know if you have. I don't know if you have or haven't. Now, I apologize. No, I don't apologize for bringing up the subject here. I don't apologize. Tell you why. Maybe you've never thought of this question, and I'll be accused of having introduced a question which you never thought of. I remember right at the beginning, when we started Seed, years and years ago, people said, how can from people learn with non-from people? Maybe they've introduced questions which they've never thought of. And why should we such questions be brought up? And I remember I went to Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, there for Sadi Brocha, and I asked him a shaila. And he said, who are the people who are teaching? I said, they're people who go out into the market. So he said to me, what do you mean? Mark, really have to know the answers. And I'm sure sometimes they've had the questions themselves, and it's suppressive. And even if they haven't, they have to know the answers. They should know the answers. Let them learn with the other people. I'm telling you, Maisa Shehoya from Yav Kamenetsky. So I'm not apologizing if you've never thought of the question. That's the question which I am faced with very, very often. It's unethical how to do such a thing. And the answer to that is, what determines the judgment to decide? What determines our ethical values, the value system of the world? Is it the rational mind? Is it the rational mind which determines ethics and morals? If in the final analysis, it is my rationality, my rational mind, which determines what's right and what's wrong, right and wrong, ethics and non-ethics, all it means is that if my religious teachings happen to coincide with what I think, then I will obey God. But that's not emuna, that's nothing to do with Rabbeinu Shalom, that's my own rational mind deciding, and if it happens to fit, the religious teachings happen to fit, that's all well and good, and if not, then I reject it. But how reliable is such a standard? Can we rely on the value system of the world? And here I do apologize. I don't like bringing it in to this holy Beis HaMedrash, to this Mokum Kodesh, these Chulindika subjects. But again, your market people who go out to the market, and again, you need to know this. I want to tell you one or two cases where you see how the value system of the world changes all the time. And you cannot rely on there's nothing absolute. Value systems are relative. Yeah, and they change all the time. I'll give you an example today in today's society. You know, our sensibilities scream against murder. The concept of murder, everybody agrees, is terrible. Yet when it comes to taking the life of a fetus, when you talk about abortion, then all kinds of emotions come up. All kinds of emotions. I don't know if you know, in America, there's the pro-life against pro-choice. You know, a woman has a right over her own. She has sovereignty over her own body, so there's tremendous emotional about pro-life and it's pro-choice. How can you murder? It's abhorrent, etc., etc. In England, it's illegal after 24 weeks. I'm thinking of changing it now. It's illegal to abort after 24 weeks. In America, I heard about today, there were states which allowed it until term. You could abort until term. So, I don't know, when is it murder? At what part of the Atlantic, if you're flying from America and you come to England, at what part of the Atlantic does something which is legal change to murder? I don't know. But the value system in the world changes the whole time. I'll tell you a two Moridika Meister. One Meister which occurred here in England just a few years ago, 2 years ago. I remember hearing about it and reading about it. There was a woman who aborted a child after 24 weeks, illegally, for a cleft palate. She was told that a child would have a cleft palate. So she aborted. And there's a woman by the name of Anna Jepson who had a cleft palate. She was born with a cleft palate and had it rectified. So she took the police to court. She took the police to court because the police were obligated to challenge that abortion because it was illegal, and they didn't. So she took the police to court. And she said to them, how can you abort a child for a cleft palate? If that would have happened to me, yeah, then I wouldn't have any life. And you're denying a life because of a cleft palate. And she took the police to court. And the chief constable of West Mercia, or Mercia it's called, West Mercia, and this chief constable of West Mercia actually set up in court that they had actually asked the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists whether such a case could be aborted, and they said you can leave it to the discretion of the mother. You can leave it to the discretion of the mother. Now, is the obstetrician or the gynecologist, just because he's a gynecologist, more qualified to decide whether that's murder than the batsman? Don't excuse me. Just because he's got a degree and he's an expert in medicine, can he judge on these moral issues? Can he judge on these value systems? There was a lawyer who challenged him and said, you know, what will happen if you find out that a finger is missing? What do you do then? How far does it go? And I asked her, today you can find out whether the child is a boy or a girl, and you don't want it, and before you know it, you'll abort. Who decides? Who decides? I tell you even another absolute moyezikamite. Listen to this. And again, I apologize, I'm bringing it into the base of measures, but you go out, you need to have this ammunition. There was an unbelievable story that took place in Erlangen in 1991. Erlangen was in Germany. In Erlangen in 1991, there was a case of an 18-year-old girl who was involved in a fatal car accident. And she was taken to hospital and had her on a life support machine. And it didn't work. They could see that there was no hope. So the family made the decision that they should take her off the life support machine. And as they were taking her off the life support machine, one of the nurses noticed that there was movement in the stomach of the lady. And they realized that she was pregnant, that she was carrying a fetus. So there was a huge debate, an enormous debate. Should we take the life machine off? I mean, it's terrible. She's dead. It's not fair. The family says you can't prolong the agony. And you can't leave her like this as a vegetarian state for the next few months. The doctors knew that if they kept her like this for a few months, they'd be able to actually deliver the baby alive. And some said, there was a huge debate. Some said, you can't do this. She's a vegetable. You can't do this. You have to let her die with a child. And others said, no, you've got an obligation to keep the child alive. There was an enormous, enormous debate. And at the end, what happened was that it created such emotional fervor in Germany that when they decided, the doctors decided that they have to keep her alive for the sake of the child, the fetus, and they would deliver the child in a few months. They made that decision. There was such a row that the chief medical officer of Germany, his name was not Dr. Christian Wilmer, he had to go on the radio, on the television, and explain why. And he said, we are doctors, and we have taken a Hippocratic oath to save lives. That is the obligation of the doctors. We've taken the Hippocratic oath to save lives. And therefore, we feel that we have an obligation. We know there's a fetus there, and we can deliver this child alive. And therefore, we have decided to keep this woman on a life support machine. That's the story. All agree? Yes. There's only one sequel to the story. They found out later that where was this lady going to when she had a crash? She was on the way to an abortion clinic to abort the child. What kind of society is this? No one can come in and say, we have the chiyuv and the obligation, we have the Hippocratic oath to save life. And they legalize an abortion clinic. So who decides? Who creates a value system of morals and ethics? Can we leave it to society? And they shout, it's murder. How can Avraham Avinu have such a test? It's unethical, and you can't change the unethical into ethical. For us, that's never been a problem. For Klal Yisrael, for Yiddishkeit, that's never been a problem. Everyone knows the famous Baruch Tanura. In the first Baruch Tanura on the Mishnah in Ovid, Moshe Kivul Torah Mitzidai, Masora Yeshua, asked the Baruch Tanura, and I quote it to you, I'm sure you all know it, Moshe Kivul Torah Mitzidai, Oyma Ani, says the Baal Tanura, Oymani, I say, the fish of Mesech the Zu Einam, you said it's Alpi Mitzvahs, Mi Mitzvahs HaToyra, always it's just Mishnayos of ethics and morals, and it's got nothing to do with Mitzvahs, not Tariyag Mitzvahs, it's not command and ordinances from the Rebbeinu Shloilam, Tisham Mesech the Shem Mishnah, Elakula, Musorim Midos, it's all about Musa and Midos, the Chachmei Umas HaOilam, Gam Kem Chibru Seforim, Kamoshe Bodu Belibom, Chachmei Umas, they also wrote ethical and moral books, which they worked out through their own ethical minds. They have their own value system. How people should interact with each other. They create their own ethical system. Society has their own ethics. Therefore the Tana began with this Masechta. Moshe kibbul Torah misina loy melecho shamidus v'hamusorim bezu ha-Masechus that the midas and the mesor, the ethics and the morals which are expressed in Oveis, this didn't come from society, our rabbis as it were, our rabbonim, Chazal made up ethics and morals. These were also said in Sinai. Our ethical values are absolute and they're not relative. Society's values are relative. They change as the Zohar go, I tell you how the grandmothers of society today would turn over in their graves if they saw how society has changed their value system. They turn over in their graves. The value system changed. They're relative. They're not absolute. But by us, by Klal Yisrael, our values, our moral and ethical values come from Sinai, just like the mitzvahs. And that's a basic Yisrael in Yiddishkeit, that our value system comes from Rabbeinu Shlomo. And it's the revealed will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like the rest of Midas are. And all we have to know is that the value system is the revealed will of the Rabbeinu Shlalom, and then it's the Rabbeinu Shlalom's promise, it's got nothing to do with us. And we do have that Yisrael in Yiddishkeit as well. We believe in Nevuah, that the Rabbeinu Shlalom talks to man, he communicates with man. And therefore we have received not only the mitzvahs, but we receive our ethical value system as well. And Imam Ibn Mudi Shalema, she Nevuah Shemai Shabbeinu Lava Shalom Hoysa Amitis, we believe in a Buddha, that Rabbeinu Shlom communicates with man, and that he's given us not just the mitzvahs, but he's given us our ethical system as well. In fact, our natural instinctive sense of ethics, that we have a consciousness at all, comes from the fact that Hashem created us in such a way that man has ethical feelings which are consonant with Rabbeinu Shlom, what the Rabbeinu Shlom wants. That's what we have naturally. But the truth of the matter is that man's intelligence is limited, and sometimes our sense of right and wrong might be at odds with the Rabbeinu Shloim, Chas v'Shalom. But if that's the case, all we need to know is that it's the revealed will of the Rabbeinu Shloim, and then we have to make an adjustment. And we're making the adjustment, we might not understand, but we'll try and work it out. But we know, once we know that it's the revealed will of the Rabbeinu Shloim, then we, knowing that our intelligence is limited, we will make an adjustment to the Rabbeinu Shloim's wish if we know that it's the revealed wish of the Rabbeinu Shloim. It's not any more an ethical problem, it's an academic problem. Why the Rabbi Shem say so? If we want, we can try and work it out. Why? But we will not refrain from doing so, because we know it's the revealed will of the Rabbi Shlomo. And we'll come to terms with it. Avraham Avinu was a Navi. And Avraham Avinu knew quite well, he had Nevuah, that he should shef his child. Now his sensibilities might have screened murder. It might have been his natural ethical system might have said it's murder. How can we do such a thing? But at the same time, he knew that it was the Nevuah, and the Rabbi Shem do so, and therefore he was able, that could have been, and that would have been the Nisoyan. The Nisoyan is to subordinate his natural sense of ethics and morals, which he felt naturally, and I know it's Nevuah, I know it's the revealed wish of the Rabbeinu Shlomo, and therefore I will adjust and do it. And in fact, I'm a diet from the Medrash, that very Yalkut, which I quoted to you before, seems to play on both those sentiments, not just the sentiments of Rom Oyavi, that Avraham had to subordinate his love for the Rabbeinu Shlomo, but it's this problem of ethics as well. Here's a lotion of the very same Medrash. Omale, the Sotan came, this is the Sotan, playing on the sentiments of Avraham Avinu. Omale, Odom Shikam Moisecho, a person like yourself, Yoivad Benoish, Shanitin Loibis Kenusoi, that's the first Taina. You're going to lose the child whom you've waited for 100 years. How can you do such a thing? That's terrible. So he was playing on that terrible sentiment. Then he carries on. How can you murder? Never mind, it's your son.
But it's higher within. You're murdering. You hear? But it's higher within. How can you murder? Not just a skedusa. It's a second diner. You're murdering. How can you justify murder?
Omalei, said Avraham Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omalei. The Rebbe Shlom told me,
and since I know it's a nevuah, I'll adjust my mentality. I'm not going to go for that. I'm not going to go for that one.
Don't try it. I've overcome it. Okay. So now we have a third possibility of what the Messiah was.
Avraham Oyavi, having to practice child sacrifice, and the fact has to struggle with a sheer ethical problem. Never mind it's his son, but it's murder. Number three.
But number four is makes it even harder.
Yeah.
What happens is the nevuah is a spira.
What happens if you have a contradiction in a nevuah? Now you're in real trouble.
Because one nevuah has said to Avraham Avinu, ki v'Yitzchok yikore l'chol zera adora, that Yitzchok will be the progenitor. You will have progeny from Yitzchok.
Yeah? You will have progeny from Yitzchok. And from Yitzchok will come out the whole Klal Yisroel people. Yitzchok will be called Yitzchok Zora. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's another Nevuah. And I know it's a Nevuah. And then the Nevuah says, Kachet Bincho, Shechitcho, and don't shech him. And now you'll never have any progeny. That's a spear in two Nevuahs. Now what do you do?
I remember I heard this Kasha more than 35 years ago from Yoshi Bear, Soloveit Chik, Zeinchatali, Rochin Brisk, and he said, this is what Reb Chaim said. He quoted, Rashi brings it, the Medrash Rabba. Rashi brings it, the Medrash says, Azoi. Ki atu yodati, Rashi brings it now, in this posuk, ki atu yodati, now I know that you're faithful. Omer Rababa. Omer le Avraham Avinu said, Afarish lo ponecha fichosi. Let me explain to you my problem. Ex-boil, yesterday as it were, in the past, the Marta di Kiva Yitzo Yikori Lechol Zora. V'chol Zarto v'omarto kach nois bincho. And then you go and say, kach nois bincho. Ato oimen, achshov, and now, never mind, the third stira. Ato, achshov, ato oimeli, and now, this is after the Akeda. Achshov, ato oimeli, al tishbach yotcho lana. And now you retract again. First you tell me, you have children. Then you tell me, Shef. Now you say, don't Shef. So now I've got three Nevuahs. And each one contradicts the one before. What's going on here? What's going on here? Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo yachal brisi, v'moitzis v'fosai lo yashane. I'm not machal on my bris, and moitzis v'fosai lo yashane, shemati l'chol kach, lo yamati l'chol shachteyu, when I told you to take Yitzchok, I didn't say Shoteyu, Ela Haleyu, I said take him up. Now that you've done it, Achsakte, you took him up, Achte, go and take him down. But whatever, we're not going into this last part, what the answer was, that's for another time, yeah? But what happened was that Avraham Avinu actually asked the stealer, he asked the contradiction. I've got three different Nevuahs, and each one contradicts the one from before. Asked Rav Yoshi Ber, the same Rav Chaim, Zechroi Nom Livrocha, very amazing, Akasha, very interesting. Why did Avraham Avinu wait? He had a stira after the second time. Kachnois Bilcho, and Kachnois Bilcho. Why did he not ask the stira when he had the first stira? It seems that the kasha was only asked on the third one. Now you say, don't check him, I've got a kasha. What did he wait for? He had the stira before and long before the third one. Moirizik. So he answers, B'shem Rav Chaim, had he asked, he would have failed his test. See, he had two choices. Look, all my life I've worked out that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, etc. But there can't be a steer in two nevuahs. There cannot be such a thing. You can't have a steer in two nevuahs. So something's wrong here. Either I've made a mistake, in which case I'm going to walk away. I have to walk away from the whole thing. I'm wrong. I'll walk away. This is not the right religion. Or I surrender to his will. And that was his test, not to ask questions. Rav Chaim said, When you've got two ksuvim, you have to wait for the third one answers the two, and until then, if you ask the kasha before and you're left with steer, it's not Torah, the gazul. It's not Torah. The idea was not to ask. Had he asked, he would have replied that I cannot proceed without an answer. What he was being asked to do was to continue life without answers. To be able to have the emunah in the Rabbanu Shlomo to continue life without any answers. That was his test. Once he had, and he didn't ask, and he passed the test. Once he had the third instruction, then he knew that it was only academic. Right? It wasn't an existential problem. He didn't ask when he went, how can I come? I'm going to shech my son. That's when he had the real problem. I'm going to shech my son. It's going to be the miser. That's complete theory. He could have either walked away, or he could have said, I haven't got the answers. One day I'll be answered. I might not be answered, but I'm going to leave it. He left it, and when it became academic, then he asked the kasha. I never meant you to shech it. Now, so why did you ask me in the first place? Etc., etc. That was the test of Avraham Avinu. And that was the greatness of Avraham. Avraham, that was the Akedah, and those were the four approaches. I did Avraham, Oyavi, who loved me, and he subordinated the love of his child to love Hashem, or he was prepared to make a fool of himself, or he was prepared to adjust his sense of ethics to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or he was prepared to continue life without answers. And that's what he has bequeathed to us, to face adversity through the ages, and not to walk away from our emunah, from our faith, as was the great clarion call of Kol Yisrael, O Yehudi, O Tzluv, famous clarion call, O Yehudi, the Ramban quotes it, O Yehudi, O Tzluv, whenever Kol Yisrael were faced with changing their religion, they said, either we remain, you leave us alone, and we are allowed to remain Yehudi, O Tzluv, what Tzluv means, crucifixion, yeah. Well, we're prepared to die. We're not going to give up our faith. Where did they get that from? We got it from Avraham Avinu, and this is the wonderment of the world, that throughout the generations, we can't even have been through such adversity, and we're still stuck to our guns. That was bequeathed to us from Avraham Avinu. No wonder we say on Rosh Hashanah Zechroinus, Akedas Yitzchok Lazara Hayoyim Barachman and Tzidko. This is the preeminent case of sacrifice of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashem, remember the Akedah, not just for Rosh Hashanah, but for the Bia Goyel Tzedek. May have your main name and please like it.